Right, if you're with me for your first reading to Exodus in chapter 19. Exodus in chapter 19. We read the whole chapter. Here the children of Israel, our fathers in the faith, they have been set free by the Lord Christ before his incarnation from Egypt, and they've been brought through the wilderness, and they've been brought to Mount Sinai, where they are to meet the Lord, just as the Lord promised. Now, as I read this, I want you to notice something in particular, how the Lord leads them out of Egypt to the mountain to meet the Lord. And first thing that happens is Moses has a discussion on the mountain with the Lord who has led them out of Egypt. And the Lord who has led them out of Egypt says to Moses on the mountain in verses 10 and 11, go and tell the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow and let them wash their clothes and let them be ready for the third day. For on the third day, the Lord will come down upon Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. And it seems that there are at least two people here called the Lord. Here we have the plurality of the Godhead here in Exodus. Let's read Exodus 19. In the third month after the children of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on the same day they came to the wilderness of Sinai, for they had departed from Rephidim, had come to the wilderness of Sinai, and camped in the wilderness. So Israel camped there before the mountain. And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings, and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me, above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests, and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. So Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before them all the words which the Lord commanded him. Then all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. So Moses brought back the words of the people to the Lord. And the Lord said to Moses, behold, I come to you in the thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with you, and believe you forever. So Moses told the words of the people to the Lord. And the Lord said to Moses, go to the people, and consecrate them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes. Let them be ready for the third day, for on the third day the Lord will come down upon Mount Sinai, in the sight of all the people. You shall set bounds for the people all around, saying, take heed to yourselves that you do not go up to the mountain, nor touch its base. Whoever touches the mountain shall surely be put to death. Not a hand shall touch him, but he shall be surely stoned or shot with an arrow. Whether man or beast, he shall not live. When the trumpet sounds long, they shall come near the mountain. So Moses went down from the mountain to the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said to the people, be ready for the third day. Do not come near your wives. Then it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain. And the sound of a trumpet was very loud, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled. And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was completely in smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. Its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. And when the blast of the trumpet sounded long and became louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him by voice. Then the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. And the Lord said to Moses, go down and warn the people lest they break through to gaze at the Lord, and many of them perish. Also let the priests who come near the Lord consecrate themselves, lest the Lord break out against them. But Moses said to the Lord, The people cannot come up to Sinai, Mount Sinai, for you warned us, saying, set bounds around the mountain and consecrate it. Then the Lord said to him, away, get down, and then come up, you and Aaron with you. But do not let the priests and the people break through to come up to the Lord, lest he break out against them. So Moses went down to the people and spoke to them. Striking passage, isn't it? Very powerful passage. The Lord's on the mountain. Now, if you turn with me to Ephesians in chapter 1, we'll read the first 14 verses before we come to pray together. Ephesians 1, verses 1 to 14. And what's to notice here? But that all blessing comes from God through Jesus to us. That's how blessing works. It is from God through Christ to us. Ephesians 1, verses 1 to 14. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him, that is in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted, after you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Amen. May God bless the reading of his word to us. So we're carrying on our series in the book of Numbers this evening. And what have we noticed all the way through? But the book of Numbers is like rehab for sinners. From right at the beginning of the book of Numbers, we are counted, that is, we are numbered into the church. The Father counts us into Jesus Christ. The people of God, the ancient church, they are organized around Christ crucified, right at the center of their camp. And they are all given new life, aren't they, by the Holy Spirit. New lives by which they are empowered to serve one another and to serve the Lord in the church. And so we're being taught then how to go from being sinners to Christians in the church. We're taught how to think and how to live as the Lord's people. And we saw, didn't we, in places like Numbers 5, how to think about sin in the church and in one another, and what do we do about it. In Numbers 6, we saw last time what to think about holiness and devotion. How is it that we give ourselves, as it were, to the Lord, and how he preserves us all our life long for that purpose? We were blessed there, weren't we? Today, we've come to Numbers 6, and right at the end, the Aaronic blessing, the priestly blessing in Numbers 6, verses 22 to 27, goes like this. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and to his sons, saying, this is the way that you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Many consider Numbers 1 through 6 to be introductory to the whole book, this book about new life in the church through Jesus Christ. And that would make, if that's true, maybe it is, it would make these verses here the pinnacle, the goal of being counted into the church, that you and I be blessed. And I don't know about you, but I think that that is so characteristic of the living God, isn't it? In all of his glory, that is the supreme objective and goal of everything, that he is glorified, he has tied up himself with our everlasting good and our blessing. So we really want to understand this blessing, this Aaronic blessing, these words here in number 6. How is it that the Lord blesses us? What is it to be blessed? And so on. So we're going to think about these verses then tonight. First of all, I want you to think about this. How is it that the blessing comes to us? How do we receive it? It's the Lord who blesses, but how do we get it? This is the role of the high priest. In verses 22 and 23, the Lord says to Moses, go and speak to Aaron. This is how you are to bless the people. And as we read in Ephesians 1 a moment ago, all the blessing that God has to give to us, and that's an awful lot, it comes to us only through Jesus Christ, his son, the high priest of the heavens. All blessing comes to us through the high priest, Jesus Christ. That is how we are blessed. If you want the blessing of the Lord, you must have it from Jesus, since he is the only one who, through whom the Lord gives us all the blessings that he has to give. And that's how blessing works. That's how the Lord blesses us, through Jesus Christ. That being the case, since this is how blessing works, the Lord blesses us through Jesus, shouldn't we expect to see exactly the same thing here in number 6? And so it is. The only way that they are to be blessed is to come to Aaron, the high priest. Aaron, standing there as the great high priest, and we've seen this, haven't we, all the way through, that he stands in for Jesus Christ. He looks like him. He behaves like him. He sounds like him with the things that he says. And the Lord dresses him up and gives him all these tasks to do and gives him a place to live that is all about making him look more and more like Jesus Christ. He's the holy mediator between God and sinners. He's given all these Christ-like tasks of remitting sins, making sacrifices, praying for the people, bearing their burdens, preserving them in holiness, and so on. And today we find that he also blesses the church of God. To prove to you that Aaron stands in for Jesus, through whom the Lord blesses us, if you look carefully at verses 22 and 23, we see there that the Lord says to Moses to say to Aaron, this is how you, Aaron, this is how you bless the people. I want you, Aaron, you bless them by saying, the Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. The high priest stands between and he blesses us in the name of God. So where is blessing from? Where is it? How does it come to us? Where is the blessing from, through, and to? Think of it like that. The blessing comes to us from God the Father, through Jesus Christ, and it comes to us. Blessing flows, doesn't it? Flows. We've seen this as we've gone through already, haven't we? That it flows from the Lord who is right at the center. Everything comes from him, right in the center of the camp, in the tabernacle. All the light, the truth, the love, the forgiveness, the peace, it all comes from there. And it flows out from the Lord through the high priest into Levi and into Israel, all the people of God, even into the unclean people on the outside of the camp, even into all the world. Everything the Lord has to give us, he gives to us, and it comes to us through Jesus Christ. That's why I read Psalm 133 to open this evening. The blessing falls from the Lord in heaven onto the head of the church, which is Jesus Christ, our high priest, and it spreads over him, onto his body, the church. We can say even this, that it's as if we can say that because the Father blesses Jesus Christ, the church is blessed through him. So there's the first thing we need to see about the Aaronic blessing. All the blessing that you and I are ever going to have in life comes to us from God through Jesus Christ. But how is it that the Lord blesses? Sorry, I'm distracted by Griff. He's looking quite cute. Sorry. How is it that the Lord blesses? I want you to think about the Gospels, places where the Lord Jesus blesses people. I think, you can correct me if I'm wrong about this, I think the Lord only blesses, it says that the Lord blessed them only twice. The children that he takes up into his arms. He takes these babies into his arms and he blesses them. But the other is in his ascension. It says that he lifted his hands and he blessed them. That's the posture of blessing. That's why we do it like that. And at that time, the Lord Jesus, lifting his hand and blessing the people, he tells the apostles to baptize people into the one name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is how Jesus blesses us. And so we do that for one another, don't we? We bless each other like this. We say the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us. We name the name, the one name of the Father, Son, and Spirit onto one another to bless one another. So all blessing comes through Jesus, and when he blesses, he speaks the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit onto us. That being the case, since this is how blessing works, it's through Jesus, and that he speaks the name of God onto us, shouldn't we expect it to be like that here? And so it is. In verse 27, so they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Before we look at the words in particular of this blessing, how do we fit in the Trinity? The way blessing works, as we've just said, is that the Father blesses us through Jesus Christ. And the way that the Lord Jesus blesses us is he says, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit over us. Let me ask you like this. Did God become Trinity in the New Testament? I don't think many people are okay with that. God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit eternally. It's who he is. This might be odd to some of us, but it's the case that Moses and Aaron know that while there is one living God, there are three who are God. We read in Exodus 19, didn't we? About this. In Exodus 19, there are quite clearly two who are called the Lord interacting and speaking with Moses. In 19 verse 3 it says, Moses went up to God and the Lord called to him from the mountain. And then in Exodus 19 verse 20 it says, the Lord came down upon Sinai and on the top of the mountain and the Lord called to Moses from the top of the mountain. Then Moses went up. There's a new Lord now who's appeared. And it's a very different scenario as we found when we read through it. And then if you turn to Exodus 31, we find the very first person in the whole Bible where it says that they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Exodus 31, the Lord says to Moses in verse 1 and 2, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, and so on. And he's given gifts of arts and crafts, of embroidery, of sewing, and things like this to make the tabernacle. That's the first person filled with the Holy Spirit in the Bible. So even to Moses and Aaron, they have in mind that there is one God. Behold, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. And yet they know that there is an unseen Lord in heaven who fills Sinai with smoke. There is a seen Lord who moves with them through the wilderness in the pillar of cloud. And there is the Lord who lives within them, gifting them and empowering them to serve one another and the church. And here it is in Numbers 6 that the one name of the three who are one, which the high priest blesses the church with, that's how it works, that the Lord Jesus blesses us in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so we have the three Lords here. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. All blessing comes to us through Jesus Christ, and he blesses us by giving us the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, before we actually look at these words, let me give you a word on the interpretation, because what we're doing now is we're walking into not uncharted territory, but territory that is from another world. It's like we're going scuba diving and all we can do is hold our breath. We're not going to get very far. We're talking about the Trinity, our great living God, who is bigger than anything, who is deeper and more wonderful than anything we can possibly comprehend. He is outside of the bounds of our imagination. He is one, and he is three. Gregory Nazianzus said, I can't think of the one without thinking of the three. And I can't think of the three without thinking of the one. And we sang about it this morning as well, didn't we, in hymn 71. Let me turn to it. I want to find the words, because I thought about it while we were singing. Hymn 71, we give immortal praise, and in verse 4, Almighty God, to thee be endless honours done, the undivided three, and the mysterious one. We have one God, you know, don't be under any illusions there. We have one God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in wonderful, perfect union together, inseparable, and yet always distinct. Because of the union that there is between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they are always harmonious in all the work that they do, like how they save us, how they speak to us, how they bring us to glory, how they carry us through death into eternal life. They are one in their work, even in creation. And at the same time, they are so distinct in what they do. It is the Lord who saves us, but only Jesus takes flesh. It is the Lord who saves us, but it's the Spirit who sanctifies. And so on. So we feel then, when we come to talking about the Trinity in the Scriptures, his oneness and his threeness, we can't help but feel that we can't stress his unity without feeling like we're not doing justice to his distinctions. And we can't stress his distinctions without feeling like we're not doing justice to his union. And it blows our minds and it swells our hearts. And we fall on our knees and we worship where reason fails with all her powers, their love adores. And faith prevails. So let's try. Let's look at these verses of this blessing of the one in three. Our one living God blesses us in three distinctions. The Lord, the Lord, the Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The first thing we have is the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord bless you and keep you. Where does blessing come from? We said it earlier. The blessing comes from God in heaven, the Father of all. All blessing comes to us from him and originates in him. Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. And there's an interesting verse as well in Matthew 25, where the Lord Jesus is teaching through a parable. In Matthew 25 and verse 34, he puts it like this. He's talking about the blessing of the Lord. In verse 34, the king, he's speaking of himself, the king will say to those on his right, come you blessed of my father. It's interesting, isn't it, that even when Aaron stands up, and when Aaron is to bless them, he says, the Lord bless you. So the Lord Jesus stands up, and for him to bless us, he says, the Father blesses you. The Lord bless you, and the Lord keep you. All preservation, all providence, everything that conspires in this world to keep us safe and to bring us to eternal glory is in the hands of God the Father. He looks out for us like a good father. We haven't got to John 10 yet, have we, in the mornings? But there Jesus says, no one can snatch them, my people, out of the hand of my Father. My Father keeps them. The Lord bless you and keep you. And Psalm 91 is speaking of the Lord's providential care over his children. He says he gives his angel charge over them and he will keep them. The Lord bless you and keep you. The next stanza we've got is the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. Well, here's an easy one. Who is it that is the very face of God? Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is the only one in whom we ever see God. I remember from John's Gospel 1:18, no one has ever seen God at any time, but the Son has revealed him. The Son is the face of God. When the Lord makes his face to shine upon us, it is in Jesus Christ, his Son. Here's another verse on that. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 6. It is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone into our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It is the Lord Jesus who is the face of God, in whom we see God. When he makes his face shine upon us, it is in Christ, his Son. If the Lord blesses you, it is in Jesus. Praise be to his name. If his face shines upon us, it is in Jesus. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. You know, it is through Jesus Christ that we receive all the grace of God. 1 Peter 1:13 has this wonderful turn of phrase. Set your hope fully on the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ when he comes to bless you like this. And so we bless one another, as you said earlier. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. And this isn't, as we're seeing now in Numbers, it's not just a New Testament thing. In Psalm 80, the church there is calling out to the Lord for blessing, calling for the shining face of God. Let your face shine upon us and we shall be saved. And it calls for that through, it says, the Son of your right hand. Shine upon us, Lord, bless us, through the Son of your right hand. It says the Father, the Lord, the Son, the Lord. And then we have the Spirit. The Lord lift up his face towards you and give you peace. The Lord lift up his face before you and give you peace. To be face to face with the Lord. What a thing. The Holy Spirit, you know, absolutely loves to lift up the face of God, which is Jesus Christ, as we've said. He loves to do it. It's like his bread and butter, if I can put it like that. It thrills him. He's all about it. Isaiah 59:19 and 20 says that the Holy Spirit lifts up the Lord Jesus, the Redeemer of God's people. John 16:14, the Lord Jesus promises, I'm sending you the Holy Spirit. He will take of me and he will give it to you. He will show you me. The Holy Spirit lifts up Jesus Christ for our blessing, that we might be one with God. The Spirit applies the life and the death of Jesus Christ to us, that we might be saved. That's in Ephesians again, isn't it? Ephesians 1 from verse 17 onwards. Talks about the role of the Holy Spirit, among other things there. Maybe we should have read on earlier. Ephesians 1 from verse 17. The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, I'm praying that he might give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of God. And it goes on there to describe how the Holy Spirit brings us into a knowledge of God, lifting up the face of God upon us and giving us peace. This is our peace. To know the Holy Spirit within us, lifting up Jesus Christ, in whose face we see God the Father, that is peace for human beings like us, to be blessed of God like this. Ephesians 2:14, he is our peace. Romans 8:6, the Spirit is our peace. Do you think number six sounds, this blessing sounds a little bit like a spell, a magic spell? You say these words, you wave your hands around, and then all the people are automatically blessed. Sounds like a spell. Depending on where you go, it might even look like a spell. Sometimes they get smoke involved and lasers and all sorts of things. And it can look like a spell and it can sound like a spell that you say these words and you get this result automatically. And many people use it like that. I'll give you an example. People who carelessly, automatically want to have their children christened, but for no reasons. Met someone earlier this week. Will you baptize my baby? I said, why? They said, I don't know. It just sounds like a nice thing to do. You get them wet, you say these words over them, and then they're blessed. It's a spell. Although number six is a script, a form of words, words that we say, it is deeply personal in the one who is three. It is not an incantation, but a confession of faith in the Lord who is threefold. The Lord we know to be good, full of goodness, mercy, truth, and grace for us. It is a confession of faith in this Lord who we know and trust. Magic spells are about not trusting power, but rather twisting power and making it do what we want it to do. But the blessing of the living God is about trusting the Lord, trusting Him to bless us because we know that He is good. The Lord bless you and keep you. And this is why that it is only in the church that we have the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in Christ blessing us, because we have come to know Him and trust Him. So there's the Aaronic blessing, where the high priest who stands in for Jesus Christ pronounces the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit over his people and puts his name on us. In verse 27, he puts his name on us. This is how the priest blesses us. This is how Jesus blesses the church, by pronouncing the triple holy name of the Lord over us. And in the same breath as doing that, by pronouncing the name of the Lord over us, he is declaring his gospel over us. The Lord Jesus, the last time we saw him here, he had his hands lifted in blessing as he ascended into the clouds. And he did that on purpose, so that we might know that his hands are always lifted over the church. He has never dropped them. He is forever blessing his people. And he says to us, the Father has set his heart to love and to bless you and preserve you forever. I have come to show you the Father. When you have seen me, you have seen the Father. I have come to be his grace to you and to give to you the Holy Spirit, he says, to lift me up in your hearts forever, to be your everlasting life and your everlasting peace. Jesus Christ is the high priest of the heavens who puts onto us all the time the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that we might be blessed. So great is his love. So great is his patience and his mercy towards us. What's your family name? Maybe you've got one of those double-barreled ones, or maybe you've got a new one. Has it ever changed? Maybe you get married, you change your name. Or if you get adopted sometimes, you might change your name. When the Lord puts his name upon us, it's like we take his family name. And we become now identified with his family, numbered into his family. We are counted into his home. We have his name put on us. His glory becomes ours. His reputation now follows us around. His life becomes our life. All of we who bear the family name of Christian, we have the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit on us through Jesus Christ. And this is where, slight tangent here, but go with me. This is where baptism comes into it. In Matthew 28, the Lord lifted his hands and blessed the people, and he told them to go into the world and baptize people into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And you and I, if we're the believers, we're baptized, and we're baptized into the one name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so we are born again into the church, into the family of God. We take the family name Christian. This is blessing. This is what it is to be blessed by the Lord, to be called by his name, to belong to his family. This is ours, to be called a Christian, to be called by his name, to belong in his house with his family, to be in the church. That is blessing. And that's why it comes here at the end of number six. If you are connected to the Lord Jesus Christ this evening, if you're trusting in him, your faith is in him as your high priest before God the Father in heaven, this blessing is yours already. The name of the Father, Son, and Spirit is on you. And yet, we anticipate it as well. Are you looking forward to it? When you meet the Lord and he puts his name upon you. Remember 1 Peter 1:13, set your hope fully on the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And Revelation 22 verse 4 says this, they, that is the saints, we will see his face and his name will be upon their foreheads. He will write his name on us at the end of time. You're looking forward to that. One day, the Lord Jesus Christ will appear with all the glory of his Father and with all the grace of heaven to give to us, and he will usher us in the footsteps of all the saints who have gone ahead of us on that well-trodden path into the Holy of Holies, and we will be there with the Lord. We will be with the Father and with the Son in the Spirit forever and ever. The living God will be ours and we will be his. But here's something truly staggering. Here's something really mind-boggling, as if it hasn't been mind-boggling enough already. When we get there, when he writes his name on our heads, as it were, when our eyes adjust to the light, when we walk into the holy place and we're with our brothers and sisters who have gone ahead of us, and we all have the Lord written on us, we will find that his name isn't the only name that we'll read there. Looking around heaven and the new earth, we will find our names written there already. In the book of life, he has written our name so that he might write his name on us. On the foundation of the city of God in heaven, John says he has written our names so that he might write his name on us. And on the gates of the city, John says he has written our names so that he might write his name on us. On a placemat at an exceedingly long table, he has written our names so that he might write his name on us. And in the hands, and in the head, and in the side, and in the feet of God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, he has written our names so that he might write his name on us. We sing sometimes, don't we, before the throne of God above, I have a strong and a perfect plea, a great high priest whose name is love, whoever lives with his hands lifted and pleads for me. My name is graven on his hands. My name is written on his heart. I know that while in heaven he stands, no tongue can bid me thence depart. So having ransomed these sinners then from Egypt and slavery, from the domain of evil, and brought them safely into the church, the Lord organizes us around Jesus Christ crucified for us. And he gives us a home in the church through baptism. He writes his name on us so that we become the permanent objects of his love and his grace and his favor and his blessing. For his name's sake. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father, glorious and ungracious Holy Spirit, we ever bless your single and holy and ineffable name. We bless you, Lord, for having so richly blessed us even while we were still sinners. We pray, Father, that you would be kind enough, patient and gracious enough, so full of love that you are, that you would write our names upon Jesus Christ, your only Son, so that we might have his holy and wonderful name written upon ourselves. We ask you, Father, to write into the book of life our names, and to write our names on placemats at your table. Father, we ask you to be merciful and gracious towards us, to bless us, to keep us, to make your face shine upon us in Christ, to be gracious to us, and by your Spirit lift your face up towards us and grant us peace, we pray, here, now, and forever. Amen.